Hi, I'm Talissa.
And I'm Rachel, and this is Transatlantic Crime, a true crime podcast that covers stories from each side of the pond. Every week, we will both cover a separate story with a running theme.
Disclaimer, this podcast will contain swearing and details that some people may find offensive. If you are of a sensitive disposition, listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Transatlantic Crime.
Same place. You went to a wedding, and I saw you had a beautiful flower girl. She was beautiful.
Oh, Pepper.
She was so gorgeous.
The best flower girl in the world.
It was a dog.
She was so skittish and scared, though. She did not
want to
be there.
It's a lot.
It was very cute. She kept going to the bride and, like, sitting on her dress.
Well, yeah, because dogs love their mama.
Yeah.
She was just trying to find her mama. Oh, yeah. She doesn't know she's got a job.
She didn't. She just wanted to hide and
no, baby, you have a job. Get to your fucking job.
Wear the flowers and walk down the aisle.
The aisle that is strewn with bacon.
Yeah.
Poor little fucker. Love a dog at a wedding. It's one of the only reasons I'll probably go to a wedding.
To see the dogs. Mm-hmm. There should be more dogs at weddings.
There really should be more dogs at weddings. So I want to kick off with a bit of news that I'm single again because the guy I was dating, when I met him, he had a job and he had a house. And then he stopped working at that job. And so he stopped renting the room that he had. And so he was technically homeless. And then he stayed at mine for ages, and he also stayed at friends' houses like 3 or 4 nights a week. So he's basically sofa surfing. And
without telling you, though, right?
Yeah, no, he is telling me, but he's not telling me in a way of this is happening and it soon will stop. He's telling me in a way of this is how I live my life. And I was like, you didn't really disclose that when we first started going out. I thought I was going out with someone who had a house and a job. So that happened.
And their life together.
Yeah, and you're 35. That's outrageous. And then also he didn't think that getting the vaccine was a good idea. So he's an anti-vaxxer, basically.
What?
And he was also saying that Joe Biden was a paedophile and that Trump was okay. And it just all started getting very QAnon. And I was just like, dude, I didn't know any of this about you when I started going out with you. Why are you dropping this now? And so I decided, basically, the last straw was on the Friday, we had a night in together, and he asked me when I was getting my vaccine, and I was like, Thursday. And then he was like, I don't think you should get it, because Bill Gates killed loads of kids with polio, and all the animals that got the vaccine died. None of that is true, obviously.
No.
For anyone with half a fucking brain in their nut. But he basically told me that I shouldn't get the vaccine. He's like, well, I'm not telling you shouldn't get it, but I believe that you shouldn't. And I was like, well, I'm getting it. Yeah. And then the more I kind of reflect on it, the more I see that his beliefs are very QAnon. And he actually said, these QAnon people ruin it for us reasonable people. You are the QAnon people.
Yeah.
You are them. I don't know how you can't see that you're them.
What is reasonable about?
And I sent him links to like fact check websites being like, Bill Gates did not kill kids with polio. Here is a fact check. And here is a fact check thing about how not all the animals died in the COVID tests. Like, just want you to know this. And this is after we kind of broke up. And he messaged me going, ignored all of that, obviously. And then went, I kind of knew we'd never work. Like, and I was just fuck you. And so I blocked him on everything after that. And I hope he listens to this. And if you are listening to this, Matt, stop being a fucking maniac.
I'm sorry that you had to go through that, but I'm glad that it's over. I'm glad that it didn't come out like 2 years down the line.
Well,
you know?
That there is always that, isn't it? It's the whole like you've dodged a bullet thing.
Right.
And the thing is, it's hard because he's a nice guy. Like, he's not a bad person. He just has maniac beliefs and doesn't want to pay his way in society. And it just reminds me of that whole Mark from Peep Show thing where he's like, where he's like, if it wasn't for the miracle of consumer capitalism, you would be you'd be drowning your own shit with no teeth, dying at 40, and a little pill with a chicken on isn't going to change that. That's basically how I felt the whole time I was going out with him.
Oh, do you think that this is like the risk of being in Bristol, though?
Oh,
like,
dude, huge
having
risk.
A lot of guys like that.
My friend knows like loads of people. He was like, you attract this kind of person, don't you? You know, the kind of person that doesn't like to live in society. And I was like, do I? And then I said that to my mum and she was like, no, babe, they come to you. like, they do. So I was really upset about breaking up with Matt. I didn't want to break up with him, but I just knew it was for the best because it's just a fucking shit show. So I met my friend James for pizza and when I met him, I was like, I just want to forewarn you, I am crying when you meet me. And he was like, that's fine. And then I said to the girl, like, I was like, he's not breaking up with me. I'm just crying because I broke up with my boyfriend today. And she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't want the waitress to think James was horrible.
Just making you cry.
Yeah. I was like, he's such a cunt. Can I have another wine? So I was like, oh, no, I'm fine. And then as I left, I was like, oh, see you later, James. And he was like, you'll be okay. And then he hugged me and he went, you're going to be vaxxed, waxed, ready for hot girl summer. I was like, what a hero.
Exactly.
And for any Patreons listening, that's the same James that is doing the Judas Priest episode with us. So if you want to hear more from James, he's sign up to Patreon and he's on there. He's very good value.
It's a great episode.
Mm. Yeah. So how are you? What's been going on with you? You went to a wedding.
Oh my gosh. It's just been so busy with that wedding. And
oh, the bride looked beautiful.
She
looked
so
like an angel.
Beautiful.
She was stunning.
And her whole family are all angels.
Oh, angels sent from above.
Yes.
You look like you had a great time.
It was a lot of fun. It was out in Topanga Canyon, which is like all the rich people live.
Isn't Topanga the name of a character
in a sitcom?
Yeah, what sitcom?
Boy Meets World.
Yes!
Yeah.
It's love interest in Boy Meets World.
Yeah, we were talking about that on our way up too. We were like, that person must have lived there. Like, what a weird name to
Topanga.
Inject into a sitcom.
Yeah, I'm so, but that
I've
is...
never met anyone with that name.
No, I mean, Talissa isn't that far from Topanga. So I can't, I can't say it's a fucking stupid name.
It's not stupid. It's just so
weird.
Weird to be put into like this big sitcom.
Yeah,
you know?
It's out there. It's left from left field, definitely.
Yes. Speaking of that, the bride's name was Velvet. Is Velvet? So
yeah,
I think
that's
also
great.
An interesting name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were a bridesmaid, right?
I was.
What was your dress like?
It was like a burnt orange color, and we all got to pick our own. The color was called terracotta.
Mm-hmm.
We all got to pick our own style, which was really nice. Like,
that's
we didn't all
fun.
Have to wear the same style. So that was good. Yeah, I got my hair and makeup done.
Nice.
Which was horrible because I haven't worn so much makeup. And I think I had an allergic reaction. So my eyes were just tearing up the whole time.
Oh,
and I was like, I'm not emotionally crying. Like, I'm not this emotional. I'm just reacting to the makeup.
You should have just been like, oh, good God, how do you do it? I'm so happy for you.
Yeah. I mean, the ceremony was like that. Like, everyone was crying then. But before and after, I was like, I'm not this emotional. I had to have the makeup artist, like, fix my makeup.
You're from Minnesota.
So
you're like, I don't cry. This is supposed to be snow coming out of my tear ducts.
Yes.
Snow and stoic nature. That's what's supposed to be falling out of my face right now.
But yeah, it was very beautiful and lovely. And it was such a, like, everyone there was like, this is the first wedding
that
we've all been to in however long.
Because I know, right?
No one was allowed to. So it was just, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I saw your like photo booth pictures and they all looked really cool.
Yeah.
I love those. I love photo booth. It's really cool.
Yeah. I think that should be mandatory at every wedding.
So do I. I've got some great photos. Pardon me. From a photo booth, there's a picture of me and Carly, and I'm not going to lie, my tits look pristine.
It's such good lighting.
I want to be buried with that photo. That is the photo I want. Just crop my face out. Just include the tits.
Okay, so we know that, that's okay. We should make that decision for each other that if we ever go missing or, we die in a horrible accident, then we have to give each other photos.
Yeah. They'll go, look, this dead body is not that fit woman in the photo.
No.
That dead body is disgusting. And I'll be like, no, she did once look like that, I promise.
Yes. Yes. This was just a week ago and every week prior to that.
It really was not. Oh God, I've never looked better. Anyway.
Yeah.
The job is now, I feel like I've got to grips with it. Like, I don't feel imposter syndrome around my job anymore. I feel like I am fucking on it. I think it's because I said I'd do a marketing plan and now I've done it. And then my boss looked at it and was like, yes, you're nailing it. And that's made me feel good. And now I feel like I'm out of my induction period and I'm into my doing stuff period, which is good. But
good job.
Thanks, mate. But I've just been like, oh, you don't know what you're doing and your boyfriend believes in QAnon and all this kind of shit. And then I was like, someone will randomly message me being like, I love the podcast. And I'm like, thank you. Like, it melts my fucking cold, dead heart. I am so thankful.
I'm the same. Like, you're in this, just cloud of darkness, working from home
called
and
life.
Doing all this, but called life. The place is a mess.
It's hideous.
And
everyone's
then you
being
get
an
like this
asshole.
Yeah, you get this nice message, and it's like, oh, all that work that we've been doing together is actually bringing someone a little bit of joy.
They're loving it.
So nice.
When someone says, by the way, I'm loving it, that brings joy to my heart. It makes me feel like it's worth it. Like all this this sort of horrid boulder up a hill Prometheus bullshit that is life is completely worth it. And it's all you guys. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You beautiful, beautiful humans for listening to this absolute drivel. It's just, I mean, they're doing God's work, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Should we get into our stories and bring more joy to the people?
Give the people what they want. Who's going first this week?
That would be me.
Ooh, okay. So I want to preface this by saying that this is a listener suggestion and I don't know who suggested it. And I want to say that your name begins with J, but I could be wrong.
I think it was several people that suggested this.
Really? I did put on the group who suggested this, let me know and I give you credit, but I just read it in a daze and I'm sorry, but the point is we're doing it. So I do listen to you. I just don't remember your name. So I'm sorry about
that. So the theme this week is murders abroad. So we just it's just kind of a free for all. Like we just picked wherever we wanted.
Yeah.
And hopefully we didn't choose the same story. That would be very weird if we did.
I purposely picked an English person abroad.
Oh, okay.
And you didn't.
I didn't. I just went completely rogue. Okay.
We're good.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so my story is the murder of Anastasia Yashchenko.
I didn't know this. I'm excited.
I'm sure you know it because it's very recent.
Okay.
Also, I want to apologize if I stumble this whole time because I am hungover because I was in a wedding last night.
You were a bridesmaid. You should be dead legally at this point.
Yeah.
I can't even believe you're up.
This is why I was like, can we push till the latest we can go today?
Yeah. And it's 8 p.m. my time and I'm already about five wines deep. Honestly, I was at my housemate Carly. I was at her grandma's 80th barbecue.
And
I was fucking nursing four ciders so that I wasn't obliterated by the time we recorded. And then the fact I made it in my house and got this computer running and got a wine, I was like, I feel like I've literally run the London Marathon and now I'm on the last home straight. I can't believe I've managed this.
That's what I felt like this
I'm
morning.
I'm so proud of myself.
I'm proud of you too. I'm proud of both of us that we're both here. I got up this morning and I was like, because I didn't finish my story. I still had like a little bit left to do.
Oh, you absolutely
slacker. So I got up. I was busy with wedding stuff.
I'm docking your wages.
And I finished it. And I think I was still kind of drunk when I was writing the end of this.
Well, it's going to be great. I can't wait.
Stuff, it just won't make sense. It's just
facts
words that don't exist.
Take a blow.
So yeah, here we go. The murder of Anastasia Yushchenko.
Mm-hmm.
So on the night of November 9th, 2019, CCTV camera caught a man walking along St. Petersburg Moika embankment in Russia.
Fuck.
When he reached the overlook of the bridge, he swung several bags over the edge and he threw them into the river. Not long after, so that happened, and then not long after, a 63-year-old man by the name of Oleg Sokolov, I hope I'm saying these right, was found drunk, stuck in the Moika River. When he was pulled out and searched, he had on him a backpack that he was attempting to dispose of. Inside the backpack was a gun and two severed arms.
Nope. Also, how cold is that fucking river? I know Russians are hard, but fucking hell.
Yeah, and this is November, so
Jesus.
I think pretty cold, right? And that's one of the things, like, he got in the river and he had been drinking and he got stuck in the river because it was so frigidly cold that he couldn't move.
Oh my God.
So he was trying to get rid of this backpack with two severed arms in it. And
also, I'm surprised you can find, like, much information on this because aren't Russians really secretive with their, like, shit show that happens? Like, if anything happens, it's pretty shit showy. They kind of cover it up.
Right, right. And this is, well, the kind of politics around it, they've definitely kind of shut down. But this is a little bit of an international story because we're going to talk about this guy in a second. So,
okay.
Where was I? Okay, so they found him in the water. They pulled him out, found what was in his backpack. They immediately went to search his home, which was not too far from the Moika embankment. It was literally, like, right outside of his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And they found, close your ears if you are squeamish, but they found the decapitated body of 24-year-old student Anastasia Yushchenko.
Okay. So I'm taking this. She didn't have a head and she didn't have arms because they were in the bag. Did she have legs? Did she find a torso?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
What did they find?
No. Her head. And probably a couple other things.
Oh, no.
As they searched his apartment further, he was there and he attempted suicide by pulling a knife out of a kitchen drawer.
God.
And he was swiftly stopped. Just so dramatic.
The Russian police aren't up for that shit. They will fucking tackle you to the floor. Like, fuck you.
They'll shut it down.
They will pour vodka on the wound, stitch it up with fucking sewing kit and be like, off to prison with you.
Yeah. So they're searching his house. They also went to the spot where they saw the CCTV footage. And 2 days later, on November 11th, they found the trash bags that had been dropped. Inside, they contained her severed torso and the rest of her limbs.
Oh.
That same day, Sokolov was arrested and charged for the willful murder of Anastasia Yushchenko.
Yeah.
So, who are Oleg Sokolov and Anastasia Yushchenko?
Yes,
Let's
who are they?
Let's talk about that.
Who are they?
So this might remind you of it because when this happened 2 years ago, his picture was all over and you might remember it. So
okay.
Oleg Sokolov was a leading Russian military historian and acclaimed expert on Napoleon Bonaparte.
Okay.
He is the author of several works on the military history of Europe of the 17th through 19th centuries.
Napoleon's French, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's not Russian.
This guy is Russian, but yeah, he likes the French.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was awarded the Legion of Honor, Order of Merit by France for his historical work on publications on Napoleon.
Wow.
He was also a prominent figure in Russian historical reenactment. In 1976, he founded the first reenactment group of the Napoleonic era.
I'm always suspicious of those people. Those people that like military reenactments. I don't know if they are to be trusted. I know, I don't want a blanket statement, but I just feel like it's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Like, they want to hark back to a time when you could be powerful just for saying you were powerful. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they want authority, and they're getting it by harking back.
It's so weird. I've only ever met one person who did that, and they
I met a few.
Really?
Yeah, a lot.
Maybe more in England. You have more options in England, but we have, like, there was one, the person that I knew did like Civil War reenactment.
Well, they're usually racist, aren't they?
He wasn't, though. He was like the opposite of that.
Oh, he was like the side that was going to save the South.
Yeah, and it just makes you wonder, like, who's, you know, like on Peep Show when they're like
dressing up as
the Nazis. It's like, who's choosing to do that? Like, did you pull the short end of the straw, or did you just want to do that?
To be the Nazi. And that's,
like, your secret way. Yeah.
I don't know. It's not for me. I just think it's something to keep an eye on. I'm just saying that. Let's just say that. I agree.
Yeah. And I do find that, I find more really interesting. And
so do I, but I don't want to fucking, like, pretend to be in one.
Yeah, especially American wars, like the Revolutionary War.
Dude, yours are steeped in racism. Ours are maybe, you know, we're the spearheads, you're the round whatever. Or, you know, we're the French, you're the English. But yours are really racist driven. I would keep an eye on that.
Well, the Revolutionary War wasn't, because it was against you guys. So
what, you're bringing this up now? Oh, is that what you want? Is that how it's going to be?
That's how this podcast has ended.
That's how this podcast should end. One big Revolutionary War. All our fans, pick a side. Are you on Rachel's side, or are you on my side? Are you on the side of the English or the Americans? Let's get together and do a fake war. That's absolutely not.
That sounds terrible. It sounds and awful. Not anything
Who's
anyone
got
wants.
Time? I have not got time for that. I barely got time for this.
Yeah. So he wasn't doing that. He was doing Napoleonic era type stuff.
Well, fair enough. Whatever you want.
So he began dating student Anastasia Yashchenko in 2016 when she was 21 years old and he was 60.
Nope. Absolutely not.
And you can see pictures, which we'll talk about this in a second, of them two together. And she is so beautiful.
No, what are you doing, Anastasia?
A beautiful princess. Porcelain ballerina.
Russian. Like, she's so pretty. Beautiful doll. Yeah. Is she going out with fucking Gollum, basically?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, darling. No.
So she was born in the small town of, okay, this is a very long name and I'm going to try it.
Go on.
Starovelichskaya, Russia.
Okay. I'm sure someone will recognize small it, town. That name.
Yeah. So she's a small town, came to St. Petersburg.
Peace out to our Russian brethren.
History. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
If you're from that town, please send in a correction note if I said it incorrectly, which I'm sure
I
did.
That is a shot in the dark, but good for you.
So during their 3-year relationship, Anastasia helped Sokolov prepare for lectures, and she often graded his students' papers for him.
I'm sure she also changed his fucking bed sheets and his fucking bedpan.
Yeah. Yep.
And chopped up his food for him that he couldn't eat.
Yeah. So much for him. She graded his papers for him, and they would attend historical reenactments together in full historic regalia. So those are the pictures that you could see of them. Like, she looks like this beautiful 19th century princess, and he's dressed in like Napoleon type clothes.
Looking like an old fucker.
Yeah. Anastasia's mother urged her not to move out of her student dorms and in with Sokolov, but Anastasia told her that they were going to be together forever, and she proceeded to move in with him.
Dude, your mom always knows. Listen to your mom. Listen to your mom till the end of time.
Mm-hmm. Towards the end of their relationship, it seemed that Anastasia had wanted more freedom and independence, but Sokolov was controlling, and her independence would ignite explosive arguments between the two.
I want to punch his face in.
Yeah, gross. He was also married. He had kids.
Fuck off!
I think he was, by the time they were together, he was divorced, but I couldn't find out much about his previous marriage or marriages.
Awful man.
Yeah. So investigation pieced together what had happened that night. During their argument, Sokolov pulled out a Soviet-era TOZ-17 stylized as a 19th century cavalry rifle. It's like one of those, if you're American and you're thinking of like what they used in the Revolutionary War,
where you have to like reload it with like a powder puff, thing.
It looks like that. It probably isn't that elaborate, but
yeah,
he used that. And he shot her 4 times, one bullet going through her right eye. This was a quote. He shot her, then tried to strangle her, but she continued showing signs of life, he shot her again. After killing her and hiding her body under a bed, Sokolov went out and bought a new IKEA mattress to hide the bloodstains on the old one.
Fucking IKEA, you're so convenient and cheap. This is where IKEA falls down. Bloodstains
here. So he went to IKEA, and then after that, so he hid her body under the bed, and then he had a party in his home where his friends came over and they drank brandy together.
Oh my fucking Christ!
Yeah, I hate that.
Pontificating,
yeah.
Oh, look how clever I am drinking brandy. That kind of vibe. Yeah. I'm quite interested as to why he killed her. Is it because she just wasn't obeying him? Like, is that the...
Well, we'll talk about that.
Oh, okay.
So he had a party, drank with his friends. Once they left, he beheaded and dismembered the corpse in his bathroom.
Okay, now I had a good time first, though.
Yeah. Placing the head in probably that brand new IKEA bag.
Ugh.
And the limbs and torso in trash bags and a backpack. He is said, this is a rumor, I don't know how true it is, but he's said to have planned to get rid of the body before publicly committing suicide dressed as Napoleon at the Peter and Paul Fortress in St. Petersburg.
Dude, could you be any further up your own anus? No one fucking cares.
Could you be any more stupid?
Could you be any more up your own anus? Nobody cares.
I just watched the
Friends reunion. It was great. Yeah, that was fucking great. Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good.
I thought
cried
it was kind
a little,
of,
laughed a little.
I thought it was kind of mean how Jennifer Aniston kept saying to Joey, like, you put on weight. She made a kind of point of that. I was like, dude, stop giving him shit for putting on weight.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care, but like, you could not be more pumped full of fillers and Botox if you tried. Like, you and Courtney Cox are like a walking advert for Botox and fillers. And Lisa
Courtney Cox looks so different.
She looks like a swelled up toe. Yeah, I just think, you know, and Lisa Kudrow has grown old gracefully and she's getting loads of shit for looking old. And I'm like, dude, that's how old she is. Like, she's happy.
It's so, like, living in, we're going to go off on so many tangents today.
That's fine. We haven't been, we did a break last week, so I feel like we should.
Yeah, we haven't caught up, like, personally either.
No, no, we haven't. And that's my fault, because I've been going out with a QAnon, so it's not, you know.
Well, I've been in a wedding, so yeah. I've been pretty busy, too. But
yeah.
No, it's just, like, talking about Botox and stuff, like, living in LA, it really is, I'm noticing as you get older as a woman, it's so much around you. And there's been a couple of times where I've thought, like, should I just try it?
Are you gonna?
Just, like, get those wrinkles out of my forehead?
Do you think you're gonna?
I don't know. I'm always like...
don't! I'm telling you, no, don't!
I don't think I will, but because no matter what, gravity catches up to you.
Also, so, you fucking... It doesn't matter if you get Botox and lip fillers. It's like, that doesn't make you look younger. It makes you look like you've got Botox and lip fillers. Oh, you're still just as old, but you've got Botox and lip fillers. It doesn't look like you're younger. It looks like you're old with those.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a look. Yeah, it's a look. It's not youth. It's just people look at you and go, oh, you care about looking young.
But I'm only saying that as like, there is that pressure here, that just that weird societal pressure for women to continue. No, I know. I'm just saying that it is very present here.
I have had some wines and I will not let you fucking bow to societal pressure.
Watch next week, I'll just be like, lip fillers.
Fish lips,
like,
dead face. But I can tell immediately. I look at someone, I go, you've had fillers, you've had lip implants. Yeah. I can tell immediately. Yeah. And, you know, it's up to every woman, however they want to deal with growing old. It's up to them.
It's fine if you want to do it, but I think it's just your genes. You can't fight your genes.
Also, who fucking cares what you look like?
Yeah.
Do you think clinging on to those 10 years of youth is going to make your fucking life better? No, it's not.
Right.
You need to be happy within yourself. And then...
Yes.
I'm sorry, this has really turned into a fucking episode of Oprah. But I'm trying to say that you fucking think that looking 5 years younger is going to make you happier. It's not. Working on your fucking inner demons make you happier. Fucking don't spend that money on Botox. Spend it on fucking therapy.
It's true. I think Georgia Hardstark talks about it sometimes because she does it, bringing it back to true crime and Botox.
Yeah.
But... And I think the way that she talks about it is like, it's my own personal decision. It's the same kind of attitude. Like, if I feel like doing it.
Oh, dude, I totally.
Nobody else should care. Like,
no, I totally get it. If you want to do it, it's completely up to you. But if you're looking for being happier by looking younger, you're not going to get that in a million years. Right. And also, I'll tell you this. If you inject Botox in your head and lip fillers in your lips, you look like someone that has put Botox in your head and lip fillers in your lips. You don't look younger. You just look like someone who's had plastic surgery.
Yeah.
So if that's what you want to look like, then fair enough. But you don't look younger.
And that is that TED Talk for today.
Welcome to my TED Talk. Thank you for listening.
Back to
your story.
And horrible men.
Yeah.
Where was I? Okay, so he was rumored to do like a public suicide dressed as Napoleon.
What a loser.
Stupid and lame.
What a fucking twat.
Right, like you think anyone's gonna be like, wow, he was so regal in his
last
moments
of life.
Oh my
god, how cool is that? What a knob.
Delusional.
Yeah.
So soon after the murder, Sokolov's name, I like this part. So Sokolov's name and all mention of him was removed from the website of the Russian Military Historical Society.
Very cool.
He was a former member of the Scientific Council. And
good.
The advisor to the chairman, when they announced that that his name was removed, she said this was the first time she'd ever heard his name.
You fucking loser.
Yeah. The French Institute of Social Science, Economics, and Politics also removed him from his position on its scientific committee, and he was revoked the Legion of Honor from France.
Good.
I'm sure he wasn't happy about that. So
no. But don't pick your fucking ex-girlfriend up.
No. Sokolov was brought to trial the following year in 2020, so this is not too long ago.
No, this is really recent.
Yeah. In court, through tears, Sokolov admitted that Anastasia seemed like the perfect woman, but in quotes, turned into a monster.
You he fucking said, dick.
Yeah. So he was apologetic. He said, I not only believe that I must be punished, I want to be punished to atone for the crime I committed.
You're still saying it's her fault.
Yeah. He said, it's going to piss you off even more.
Oh, go on.
He said, Anastasia was the love of my life, and that if her mother was present in court, he would offer to bend on his knee and allow her to shoot him there and then.
Well, I'll take your offer. Thank you very much.
Her mom didn't come to court because of how harrowing the evidence was. She just didn't want to.
No, I understand. Yeah, that's fucking grim.
So he pleaded guilty to Anastasia's murder, but told the court that it had not been premeditated and that she had driven him to, in quotes, a state of complete insanity. So it was
her fault that he was... I want to punch this man in the fucking perineum.
Yeah, she drove him to a state of complete insanity by making insulting remarks about his children from another relationship. Sokolov had told investigators that Anastasia had, in quotes, recently had a terrible reaction to my children, and she started to freak at their mention.
So leave her.
Yeah. During the argument that night, they both, in quotes, lost control, and she attacked him with a knife.
I already doubt that.
Yeah, there were several. We're going to talk a little bit about, like, the proof that they had and stuff, but... There was one line that I read that I couldn't find any more about it, but there was one point where they tried to prove that she was asleep when this happened.
Oh, so that he was saying that they were arguing, but they actually weren't. She was asleep.
Possibly.
Yeah.
But that's not exactly proven because we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
So during the trial, and this is the part where, you know how we were talking about how Russia kind of keeps things under wraps when drama happens with them.
Mm-hmm.
So during the trial, women's rights activists say that the case shows indifference towards harassment and domestic violence in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
An online petition with more than 7,500 signatures accused St. Petersburg State University of ignoring previous complaints from students against Sokolov.
There's actually a really good documentary about St. Petersburg, and I think it's Reggie Yates in the UK. He does something about it where he's like, basically domestic violence and feminism is like, domestic violence is rife and feminism is a proper dirty word.
Yeah.
They hate women's rights. They think it's destroying the family unit and stuff, and they hate it.
Right. Which goes in line with domestic violence because... Mm-hmm. They think
keeping women in line.
Women, yeah, right, and they won't believe them.
Mm-hmm.
So Anastasia's family lawyer, Alexandra Bakshiva, I'm not sure if it's a man or a woman, explained to the court that the historian targeted young women with brown hair who had an alleged resemblance to Napoleon's wife. He would give them extra attention in class, and several of those women would lead to romantic relationships. So he targeted Anastasia from the beginning,
abusing his position as a professor.
Totally
not cool.
If he took a liking to someone, Sokolov invited them to meetings with historians and historical reenactments inspired by the Neapolitan era. Mm-hmm. Didn't say that right.
Neapolitan ice cream is delicious.
We'll go with that.
Yeah.
So he would especially take them to dances and balls. And this is where there are several pictures of and videos of Sokolov and Anastasia in 19th century costume. Anastasia in a white dress and hair in a bun, and Sokolov in a similar costume to what Napoleon would have worn. So yeah, there's lots of videos and pictures of them dancing and smiling.
Mm.
So the court learned that Sokolov's record was not clean. In 2008, a report was filed against him for assault after his girlfriend at the time, Ekaterina Ivanova, broke up with him after she found out that he was married. So She went over to his home to get her things, and while she was getting her things, he was completely calm. And then as she was about to leave, he grabbed her, and according to her, she flipped his lid, and he suddenly tied her hands up, tied her to a chair, and began to beat her, threatening her with a hot iron.
Nope. Absolutely not.
Yeah. No. Luckily, she got away and she was able to file the report, but that was one of the things that the women's rights group were saying, like, it wasn't taken seriously by the police. And this woman also felt guilty because she didn't follow up, and she thought maybe if she had done more and, like, pressed the police to
pursue it. Dude, it's so not your place to police a predator.
Yeah.
That is so not your place.
Right. She felt guilty. She thought she may have stopped something like this from happening.
That makes me feel horrible.
Yeah. So according to her testimony in court, during their relationship, he was extremely controlling, telling her what to wear, who to hang out with, and he often imposed his own tastes on her. When she tried to break up with him, he used the same phrase he used when he spoke to police about Anastasia, calling Ekaterina, in quotes, a monster, as he beat her.
Fucking hell, so this is a 20-year-old girl. Like, is she really that threatening to you?
I know.
Dude, it's a huge red flag, don't you think? Like, older men dating women that young. Why are you doing that? Because the woman doesn't have as much life experience as you, mm-hmm. and she's not going to challenge you on your bullshit.
Generally,
I think that's why people go out with people that are younger than them, like a lot younger than them. Mm-hmm. It's because they don't have the life experience to call you on your bullshit. Yeah. And that's just my opinion.
And a lot of the time, the younger person is more vulnerable because they haven't dealt with their issues yet. They haven't processed a lot of stuff.
They haven't as much life experience as you.
Right. And when you're 20, you're still in that weird place of, like, I'm used to being at home and being taken care of by my parents.
Also, your frontal lobe isn't fully developed until you're like 25.
Right.
And even then, mine was a mess. I didn't even really know what I was fucking doing until I was about fucking 29. And even then, I wasn't sure. Like, even now, I'm like,
I was.
Yeah, even now, I'm like, I think I'm sure. I think.
Right.
It's not 100%. It's definitely not 100%.
I'm still working on myself.
Yeah, God, if someone came up to me and went, you're probably wrong, I'd go, yeah, no, I know, I probably am.
But imagine if it was a man who was 40 years your senior and you had...
well, of course.
And you felt vulnerable, and this man was here to, like, take care of you. And
you would believe everything they had to say.
Right.
Of course. It's really fucking not cool. The power dynamic is really out of fucking whack.
Yeah. That's just this woman, Ekaterina, that was her testimony, just kind of proving, like, what kind of man he actually was and how he treated the women that he was with. And then also blaming them at the same time, like calling her a monster. And
a monster. I mean, how strong is that?
Right.
That's a lot.
According to her, he also targeted young women like herself who were quiet, sweet, and vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So the court also heard from Anastasia's brother, who said that during the night of November 8th, 2019, Anastasia called him in tears, saying that Sokolov had beaten her because a friend invited her to a birthday party. She quickly called back later on and said that the conflict had been resolved. That was the night before the murder.
Do you know what that is? That's him going, call your brother and tell him everything's okay.
Yeah, totally.
Which is fucked.
And so they're saying that the whole thing happened because she wanted to be independent. And she was like, I want to go to my friend's birthday party. He didn't want her to. And that's when he killed her.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is the last little bit. The prosecution had asked the court in St. Petersburg to jail Sokolov for 15 years. 15. Very short.
Mm-hmm.
Sokolov said he was tormented by the crime, but he sought a more lenient sentence. The judge saw through Sokolov's act and deemed him jealous, sane, and knew what he was doing.
Oh, good.
Yeah. On December 25th, 2020, Sokolov was sentenced to 12 and a half years in prison for the possession of a weapon and for the murder of PhD student Anastasia.
That's Yushchenko. Not long.
It's really not long.
12 years?
Yeah, I didn't have time to find out like why it was so short and what the process of jail time is in Russia, because I don't really know much
about
it.
To be honest, I don't think jail in Russia is the same as jail in England. I think jail in Russia is rough as fuck. So I guess,
yeah,
like I've seen programs on it, the world's toughest prisons, etc. And I think that they use dogs instead of guards and stuff. Like they are fucked up harsh.
Yeah, and he'll be in his late 70s, 12 and a half years. He'll be in his late 70s by the time he gets out of jail.
I mean, Russia doesn't fuck about.
No.
They are pretty harsh in terms of what they're up to. So I kind of think, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but if any of our listeners does know about the Russia prison system and, you know,
definitely
why
willing
that
to hear
might
about
be
that.
Such a short sentence. Then let
I think
us
it
know.
Might be a
and
lifetime, to be honest.
Yeah. So that's my story for this week.
Oh, that was so interesting. Thank you. I've never heard of that.
So you don't remember pictures of him in Napoleon? There's this one picture of him that they put all over every news story, and it's him looking super intense in his Napoleon.
Oh, he sounds like an awful,
costume.
Tedious cunt.
He's got the hat and the costume.
Oh, of course
the red
he does.
And
he's one of those people that'd be like, in a past life, I was Napoleon. Well, so was everyone, apparently. Like, fuck hell. Who was the fucking horse's hands? Who was the person who cleaned up the horse shit? There was someone like that around. It wasn't all kings and queens.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Right. So I've got a story.
Okay. Let's listen.
So I've got a story, and I tried to make sure. Oh god, thing is, while I was looking at the story, there was someone that was from England that was murdered in New York, which is such an interesting story, which I wish I had have chosen. But I'd done so much work on this story that I was like, I can't switch now. You're getting this one, and you'll be happy for it.
Maybe we'll do it next time. Yeah,
I'll do it next time. I'll do it another time. But this is a story of Celia Doughty.
Okay.
So, Celia Natasha Doughty was born on the 11th of February 1943 in Wellesbourne, Warwickshire, England. So, Warwickshire, I had to Google it, was, it's in the Midlands near Birmingham. And it's, so the same, Warwickshire is the county that Stratford-upon-Avon is in. So, that's where Shakespeare was born. So, very prestigious.
Classic old, ye old town.
Very much so.
Vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I did a DNA test thing, and all of my family are from around that area.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. all my dad's family anyway.
Maybe so, you're related to Shakespeare.
Oh, I mean, I hope so. I did English literature and language at uni, so we can only hope. So in the summer of 1983, Cecilia was 40, and sometimes she was referred to as her middle name, Tasha. So her middle name was Natasha. And sometimes people called her Tasha. But that is literally all I can find out about her, which is kind of shit. Like, I tried really hard to find out more about her, but there's just nothing apart from this story, which is really sad. But anyway, so when she was 40, she was having a hot girl summer, and she worked at Brampton Island Resort, which is just off the coast of Mackay, Queensland. So she's from the Midlands in England, and she gets a summer job in Queensland, Australia, on a private island.
That sounds fun.
She is doing fucking good. Like, she's 40 and she has got a fucking summer job. Like, good for her. So, Brampton Island is only 4.6 square kilometres, and it's covered in rainforest, thickets and mangroves. So, it's paradise, basically. Mm. And the island lies within the Great Barrier Reef World Heritage Area. And most of the island is part of Brampton Islands National Park. And there's lots of walking trails and a campsite. But the Brampton Island Resort, where Celia worked, accommodates up to 220 guests and 106 rooms. And the resort offers fishing trips, snorkeling and scenic flights. So it is paradise.
Like, she was having so much fun.
Oh, she is living the life. Like, she's on a...
All those people, all that, like, snorkeling, just...
Yeah, I mean, she's on an island that offers snorkeling, walking tracks, and it's a luxury resort. So, yeah fucking paradise. So, she was working at the resort as a waitress. She was serving drinks to the tourists, and in her spare time, she was free to enjoy the entire island. So she got accommodation with her job. So she wrote to her family and she told them that she wanted to stay there forever because the island was paradise, which I can fully believe.
Yeah.
So on the 31st of August, she took the ferry to the mainland for a dentist appointment and she stayed there overnight. So it's just off Queensland. So it's like... If you're looking at Australia, it's like go to the middle and then go to the east. And it's the middle of the east. Okay. So on the coast.
Yes.
Yeah. So she stayed there overnight. And then the next day, on the 1st of September, she traveled back to the island and she went straight to her room to drop off a present that she bought for her youngest son's 19th birthday. So that just shows you where you are. Where she is in her life, like she's got older sons, but her youngest is 19, and so she's like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna have a hot girl summer. I'm gonna go to the islands. Yeah. Like, it's cool."
Yeah.
No guy holding
me back.
No
kids to take care of anymore.
Fucking waste men holding me back. So she was like, "Fuck this." So she got her son a 19th birthday present, very cute. Put it in her room. Then she grabbed a red towel and she headed to the hidden area of the island called Dinghy Bay, and she wanted to sunbathe naked. Hmm. So she didn't realize at the time that she was being followed. So she arrived at the bay around 11:40 a.m. But by
you ever felt confident enough to do something like that?
No.
Be naked?
Absolutely not.
Doors?
No.
Never.
Never. No. Never. No, I'm not even sunbathing naked because I think that if other people see my tits, I'm like, you need to fucking take me out for a gin and tonic first. Like, you're not seeing these fucking beauties without fucking paying your dues. No.
Yeah.
I mean, more power to you if you can.
Yes, I totally agree.
Oh my God, like, I wish I could.
I'm almost envious of people who feel that confident.
Oh, dude, I'm vocally envious.
Yeah,
like it's
just something I don't think I will ever.
I just kind of feel like you have to earn my tits, and that's just how I feel. It is what it is. So she arrived at 11:40 a.m., but by midday, just 20 minutes later, there was a small plane that flew overhead, and the pilot reported that she was already gone because he saw nothing on the beach.
Okay.
So.
And he would have seen a red towel. A bright red towel.
Yeah, you probably would have seen a naked lady as well. Like, it was a private beach. Yeah, so he would have seen a red towel. But no, he said he saw nothing there when he went over at 12. So, on the 2nd of September, when Celia didn't show up for work, police started searching for her. It didn't take long to locate her, partly because she was covered in a bright red towel, which was starkly contrasted against the green island. Celia had been dragged into nearby bushes and her head had been caved in with a large rock. She was covered with her own towel, which had blood and semen on it. Her clothes and her handbag were missing. Police started interviewing more than 300 guests and visitors that were on the island. It was during these inquiries that police became aware of an unknown man that had asked staff members where Celia was shortly before her murder. A $30,000 reward was put forward by the Queensland government for information leading to a conviction, but still no one came forward. The only lead police had were witnesses telling them that they saw a couple arguing on the 1st of September ferry, the one that Celia came back on. Okay. The argument was regarding the woman was annoyed because she couldn't find her husband for hours, and he replied that he didn't realise the island was so big.
Okay,
so police couldn't locate the couple in question. So that's kind of like a dead end. So the case sat unsolved for close to 5 years before police were revisited in 1988 by a man with further information. And he said, I think I know that man who was having an argument with his wife on the Brampton Island ferry when the woman was murdered. He's my brother Wayne, and he lives in Sydney.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine duping in your brother.
Absolutely, dobbing in. So yeah. Wayne Butler and his wife, Vija Samite Duffy, had been on Brampton Island for a day visit on the day that Celia was murdered. Vija also confirmed that Wayne had disappeared for 4 hours on that day. However, she also said that this was a common occurrence for Wayne to just wander off, and that he wasn't behaving any differently when he came back, and there were no marks or bloodstains on his clothing.
Hmm.
So that is interesting, because if she had her head caved in by a rock, you yeah. would have thought there'd be a fucking yeah. shitload of mess. But yes. there is also the chance that he could have taken his clothes off and then done it and then put his clothes back on.
Or it's right on the coast. He could have done it, jumped in the ocean, washed off.
Dried off.
Within 4 hours, he would have dried off.
Yeah.
Everything would have been dried and clean.
Yep. That's a good point. So, Wayne Butler was arrested on suspicion of murder in 1988. That's the year I was born.
Wow.
But insufficient evidence meant that he had to be freed. 1997 rolls around. 9 years later, Wayne was still the main and only suspect. In those 9 years, Wayne and his wife had separated, and she had decided to report what she knew to the Sydney police. She told them, "My ex-husband has committed a murder. He killed a girl on the beach in Queensland. Now we're divorced. I want you to know the truth."
What is the truth?
Well, unfortunately for Wayne, DNA technology had now gotten to the point where they could forensically relate him to the crime. So,
wow.
Back in 1988, police could only confirm the blood type of the perpetrator, and Wayne was ruled out via this. However, the police now considered the science rudimentary, and when Wayne's wife came forward, they decided to test the semen stains from the towel again. So okay. In 2001, the police felt that they had enough evidence to go to trial. The court was told DNA evidence had confirmed that semen stains on the red towel came from Wayne, and that the chances of another person having the same profile were 1 in 23,000.
Wow.
I mean, right. So I want to talk about this. So okay. 1 in 23,000 doesn't sound like a lot, I guess, when you think about things like lottery and blah, blah, blah. But this is a private island.
Yes.
This is a private island with 300 people on it. You can get rid of half of those people because they're women.
Mm-hmm.
You can get rid of another half because they're different race.
Yeah.
So actually, when you say 1 in 23,000, that's actually quite fucking conclusive.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. That narrows it down pretty
well. Fucking narrows it really down. It's more than 1 in 23,000. It's 1 in 10,000. Really? Right. Dr. Carey Mullis was an American biochemist who won the Nobel Prize for his work on DNA replication. And he advised throughout the trial, but he was not called to testify. But he, basically, Dr. Carey Mullis invented polymerase chain reaction, which is PCR. And that's a method that is widely used to rapidly make millions to billions of copies, complete or partial, of specific DNA, like the one on Celia's towel. This allows scientists to take a very small sample of DNA and amplify it to large enough to study it. So PCR is now fundamental to genetic testing and research, including analysis of ancient samples of DNA. So it's a completely fucking okay.
It's legit.
It's legit method. Like they use it everywhere and anywhere. And so Carey Mullis took the semen stain on the towel and he enhanced the DNA and he found that it matched Wayne.
Okay.
And he won the Nobel Prize for that technology. So it's pretty fucking reliable, I would have thought.
Yes.
So
Where's Wayne?
So Wayne's defense tried to suggest that the DNA had been contaminated from the laboratory, but this argument was disproved. Wayne was not called to the stand to testify. And after just 90 minutes of deliberation, the jury found him guilty and he was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. It was the first murder in Australia to be solved using DNA profiling.
Wow.
Yeah. So the prosecution relied heavily on DNA evidence and it became a case study for the use of the technique in court. Judge John Hellman commented at sentencing, "For this savage crime, you will spend the rest of your days in captivity and parole will always be out of the question."
You, sir.
May fuck off. Yeah, he's never getting out. So on the 31st of July 2001, Wayne appealed his conviction, but that was unsuccessful. And then in 2005, he appealed again with the governor of Queensland, Quentin Bryce. And his appeal was based on new evidence by forensic scientist and blood group specialist Professor Barry Boucher. He claimed new evidence proved that Butler was innocent. Professor Boucher obtained a sample of Butler's semen via a lawyer, and confirmed he was in blood group B. The semen on the towel is blood group O, and Butler is in blood group B, he said. "I have been right from the start convinced that it's not his semen on the towel." He argued DNA testing was, in brackets, dodgy throughout the hearing.
What?
How many people in a courtroom understand DNA evidence? The jury thinks if they've got DNA, he's guilty. With the new information, Professor Boucher made an application for the pardon of Butler's behalf. Boucher was unsuccessful in convincing the court that the DNA testing had been botched. He said, and I quote, "I can't say Wayne Butler is innocent. All I can say is that the laboratory tests are wrong." We could all say that.
Well, I wouldn't say that against a Nobel Prize winning.
No, neither would I. I wouldn't be such a cheeky guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, on the 1st of May 2009, the appeal was rejected. You, sir, may fuck off. Justice Patrick Keane commented, I am satisfied. There is no reasonable doubt Mr. Butler's semen was on the red towel. Butler is now 73. And he remains behind bars for the 1983 murder and suffers from a brain injury he sustained when he was attacked in prison.
Okay.
Oh, that's nasty. But still, don't kill people with rocks.
Yeah.
Are you sure you want to bash someone's head in with a rock? Because it seems like the same was done to you in prison. And right. That wasn't good.
Was that the only murder that he committed?
Like, do you know what? I thought that. That seems... And also, when he did it, he was, like, in his, I don't know, late 30s?
Yeah.
Like, fucking hell, you want to get his DNA on the system, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's worrying. It's the first crime.
Although, is that the end of your story?
Oh, yeah, it's the end.
Okay. Good story. But I was going to say... that podcast that we mentioned a while ago with Billy Jensen, where he's talking about the Long Island serial killer.
Yeah.
So they're coming out with a new series, and I can't remember what it's done, but basically the gist of it is one and done murders and how that's kind of, we know all about serial killers, but we don't really know about the people who just do one murder and then get away with it for a long time and then they're found out later on or they're never found out at all.
Yeah, no, and I totally agree.
It is something
one and done. Isn't that the
people don't really... Yes, it's like the secrets that people have.
Oh my God.
Especially older people.
I hate
it. It's like, what did you do when you were 20 and you've just blocked it from your memory and nobody's ever found out and you just have this thing hanging over you for the rest of your life? Yeah.
Dude, I bet that's more common than you think.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
No. Stop it.
No. Let's not talk about it.
But you know what, though?
And on that note,
okay, bye.
Thanks for listening to Transatlantic Crime this week. If you liked what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe.
And if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at @TransatCrimePod, Instagram @TransatlanticCrime, and on Facebook
with Transatlantic Crime Podcast.
Thanks, bye.